We're kind of teaming up in some kind of unholy union of shouting and intelligence. can I just have a little edge off the mic, please? Because that's my quiet voice. okay. Do you want to come up and join me then? Right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, this word that you've given us this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord, we bring to you and we submit to you. And Lord, we just pray that, Father, you let life come through, come be birthed through it, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, your word is a living word. And Lord Jesus, your word is for us today. Your word is intended to instigate action and instigate a life. And Father, we just pray this morning, Lord, that as we bring this, Lord, that Lord, you open our ears, you open our eyes to what your scripture says. So we just thank you, and we just pray, Lord, that your will be done. Amen. Right, I'm going to start off, but I'm going to hand over to Fiona. So I think essentially what's going to happen here is you'll get two complete sets of teaching. So settle in. Okay, so... this way, I'll walk through this and we'll grab you. So, if you want to, cool. So, Fiona and I came across this phrase a few months ago. So, sorry, just to step back. Last few weeks, months, I've been looking at getting God's best. Dad's been looking at how our belief and our vision for his kingdom affects and is connected to our faith and also affects how we live out our lives. I've been looking at getting God's best. How can we just not settle for enough? How can we go deeper? How can we get more of him? How can we live our lives in a way that lets God's kingdom flourish and God's kingdom be established in every area? So... a few weeks ago, I was looking at things that are permissible aren't necessarily good for you. So Paul was talking about the things that we can do, but that we choose not to for the good of his kingdom, to glorify his name and to bring honor to him. And whilst we've been looking at this, we came across this phrase in a book, which really resonated with me and Fiona, but it wasn't from a Christian source, so we're like, well, we need to check this against the word. The phrase that came out that connected with us was this. As human beings, as people, you are the average of the five people you spend most time with. So you, as a person, are the average of the five people you spend most time with. So the reason that sort of resonated with us is because obviously we're looking at how to establish a lifestyle that allows God's kingdom to flourish. So if that is true, if we are the average of the people we spend time with, then that is something we need to look at we'll get to you in a minute. we have to look at and judge and bring in line with God's word. When you hear that phrase, maybe some of you think, oh, that's okay, because, you know, all the people I'm spending time with are good and, you know, that's all fine. I'm happy with that. But it was a little unsettling for me because I have a mixed bag of people I spend time with. some more mixed than others. So let's bring this in line with Scripture. Let's look at this kind of concept and bring it in line with Scripture. So I'm going to hit you with a few. And guess where I'm starting? When we're looking at lifestyle and wisdom. Well, it's got to be Proverbs, isn't it? So Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Nice and clear. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And then we're up the ante a bit. Then we look at Corinthians, that book of correction, that book of Paul you know, take, you know, attack, not attacking those people, but bringing some discipline to those people. So, you know, you might want to take a breath for this bit. So 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." That, I mean, that's the Paul way of putting it, isn't it? Let's not mess around here. Don't be a fool. This is what happens. So just to up the ante again from there, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, oh, sorry, that's the one I just read. 1 Corinthians 5:11, he says, "But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people." I say, trust Paul to just cut out the nonsense and just hit you between the eyes. So we've gone from this phrase then that you're the average of the five people you spend most time with, to Scripture actually saying we need to be wise with who we're walking with. Proverbs saying, walk with the wise and become wise. Iron sharpens iron. And Paul's saying, do not be misled. It's really, really clear that this is something we need to pay attention in our lives. And the word is quite clear here about us being wise in this area. So what I want us to start with this morning is for a little job, little task for you guys. I want you to start by looking at who are your five. Who are the five people that you think that you spend most time with? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about that. It's not a rhetorical question. I literally want you to write a mental list, or, you know, to write a list. So the five people that you spend most time with, who are those people? Where do you spend most time? Because you might find those people there. So for me, two of those people work for me. Okay, have we all got a fairly rough idea of how five people then? We've got some names in our heads. So it's not as simple as that though, is it? Because there's people who I spend lots of time with in my life that maybe don't have as much influence on me than others that I spend less time with but that have a greater influence. So then we start breaking that list down. So who are the people in my life then that have the greatest influence on me? Who are those people that I turn my heart to and open myself to in that way? Who do I allow influence in my life? So we got our five, you know, quantity guys, but or gals. But who are the two or three people? Who are the maybe smaller group of people that have greatest influence on us? Is in Scripture we should take a sober judgment of ourselves. So with a very objective mind, who are these people that have influence on us in our lives? You know, if you want a worldly way or sort of a more secular way of thinking of it, there's the 80-20 principle, where 20% of the people have, you know, 80% of the influence. Or, you know, or whatever realm it's in. So who are those people that have most influence on us? What does it mean if, when we think of those people that have most influence on us, what sort of behaviour do you think they will be replicating into you? What sort of thinking do you think they're replicating into you? So I'm just going to share a couple of scriptures with you that give us an insight into some of the people that the Bible encourages us to walk with. Some of the ways in which it encourages us to walk out our journey. So 2 Corinthians 6:14. Still in Corinthians, prepare yourselves. Do not yoke yourselves together in a team with unbelievers. For how can righteousness and lawlessness be partners? What fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony can there be between the Messiah and Belial? Just said that fast because I didn't know how to pronounce that. It's got a star next to it, which then would give me a full, but I'm not going to do that now. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Again, back to our friend Proverbs 12:15. Fools suppose their way is straight, but the wise pays attention to counsel. So scriptures encourages us not to yoke ourselves with those that are not going to be walking in the light. Now, for me, that's quite easy. I've got some would say unhealthy suspicion of the world. I'm cynical about the world. I tend to approach it with a very kind of pragmatic view. But there are others amongst us here that are much more friendlier than I am. So it's maybe tougher to judge those people that we're connecting with, that we're yoking with. Not to judge them, but to assess their influence in our lives. There was a hip hop track when I was a teenager, and the chorus went something like, "Watch the people that you're moving with, those with whom you identify, because your actions can't lie," and then some other stuff about rapping. And that always springs to mind whenever I talk on this subject. Watch the people that you're moving with, those with whom you identify, because your actions can't lie. I should have practiced that a bit, shouldn't I? Yeah. So watch the people that I'm moving with. Watch the people whom are influencing my actions. So I'm going to suggest some areas in which we need to assess whether these things are coming through in the people that have greatest influence on us. Okay. So in those people, have you got someone that encourages you? Or have you got some people that encourage you? Is there someone in there that when you meet with them, they lift your spirit? They help you to believe. They fuel your faith. They just instill in you this kind of natural ability to feel like you can overcome. Do they bring fun and energy to your lives? Those encouragers, do they bring that joy to your lives? Is there someone in your group like that? Is there someone in your group that loves you unconditionally? That unconditional acceptance, that belonging, that no matter what I do or no matter how much I ruin things, I know that I'm welcome. That's incredibly important for us to have people like that in our lives. So that we know we are valuable, that we know we are enough. So these people might be those that are always there to accept you. So you might not necessarily see them lots, but they may be the people that will always receive you back. That will look beyond their annoyances or their grievances, and will just love you anyway. Often people that will serve you. So have you got someone in your group that will love you? Okay, so have you got someone in your group who will challenge you? Someone that will challenge you. It's essential that we make sober judgment of these things, but it's also essential that we don't create a little self-confirming, self-affirming bubble that just agrees with us all the time. You know, us Christians are great for that. Let's build a place where we kind of make other people feel a little bit unwelcome or a little bit uncomfortable. We'll just have people there that agree with us. We'll just, you know, come into our little groups. That's not us. We're all brilliant here, but you see it a lot, don't you? Those sort of small communities that kind of almost shut out the rest of the world, not necessarily deliberately, but just kind of by accident, because it's easier to be with people that just agree with you. But you should have people in your life that will challenge you. That is how we grow. You know, when it talks about iron sharpening iron, that's not a process of cuddling. That's not like iron spoons iron, or, you know, iron just sort of gives them a hug. That is scraping against, chipping off the edges and sharpening it. So we need people to see into our blind spots who will challenge us. Okay, we need people to be accountable to. Have you got someone in your group there that you can be accountable to, that you can trust to bring godly input into our lives and to hold us to account to his standards in a godly and right way, that knows the kingdom and helps us see error? Have you got someone that will hold you to account? And finally, wisdom. Have you got someone in your group that can bring wisdom to you? That person whose life you look at and you see the fruit of the wisdom in their own life. There's lots of people that will profess wisdom to you, but look for the fruit of that wisdom. If you need wisdom in your finances, look to someone that is walking in the fruit and the blessing in their finances. If you're looking for wisdom in your relationships, look for someone that is walking in the wisdom, in the fruit of the wisdom in their relationships. Who have you got in your life that can bring that wisdom to you, that you want to replicate, that can again offer that good godly advice, whose lifestyle speaks of wisdom? So again, these people may not be close friends. They may be people that you know of that you actually want to build a relationship with. So I'm quickly wrapping this up. They may be people actually that you see the gaps in some of those areas. Maybe you haven't got someone in there that will hold you to account. Maybe you haven't got someone in there that will challenge you. Maybe there's someone in there that won't love you. There is people around you that can help fill some of those gaps for you. You know, one of the reasons we did that icebreaker this morning, where we found common ground with each other, is we wanted people to understand that there was people in front of you that maybe there was things you didn't know about them that can fill in some of these gaps for you. So choose wisely. Choose wisely. And start growing that, or forming that group of influence in your life into something godly and that will bring great fruit. Right, I'm going to pass over to Fiona. She's going to take over the next part.
Okay, so I'm going to have to talk really fast now. I did say to him, don't write half an hour's worth. We've only got half an hour. Okay, so when Philip saw this quote in this book, he kind of shared it with me, and it really struck a chord with me, and I really kind of pondered over it for a good couple of days. And as we said, it's not a Christian book, it's a business book. But it really just sat in an uncomfortable place in my heart, because it really made me search myself. And one of the things that I thought when I was looking at that for myself was, well, who are my five people? And of course, my first thought was to put my two children in that five, because I spend an awful lot of time with my two children. And didn't really think much more of it. And then God really kind of spoke to me about that, and actually about how I need to look at that in a different way. Because, yes, I do spend a lot of time with my children, but my children should not be influencing me. I should be influencing them, because my children are in a process of learning because they are growing and they are building their relationship with the world and the things that they need to know and the people around them. And to align myself with them and to come under their influence, it just wouldn't be appropriate. God has given me the authority over my children. So it really made me think kind of almost the opposite part of what Philip was saying, that actually I need to be influence. Just as we are influenced by other people, we have to understand that we are going to influence other people. I'm going to come back to that actually. It says in John 15:19, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. He set us apart. He's made us different. We walk in truth and we walk in light. And what we need to do is to be a reflection of that in other people's lives. And I haven't got this written down at all because it just kind of came to me as I was sitting listening to what Philip was saying, and we were worshipping this morning, and I just felt the Lord was just saying, it's not even, because I was going to go about the Great Commission and talk about evangelism and actually how we should be reaching out to these people, because that's what God told us to do. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, but actually we're called to love one another. Actually, we're called to be family. What my position is, what the place that God has put me in, is to love the people around them, is to mother them, is to nurture them, is to care for them. And actually, by doing that, that's influencing them, because it's giving them somewhere, someone to go to when they're hurt and they're crying out for somebody. It gives them someone to go to when they want a source of joy and hope. He says in Matthew, it says, you are the salt for the land, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except being trampled on. To be influencing, or to be influential, sorry, we need to be aware of what is living in us. And it says in the Bible that God lives in us. But it's very easy if all we're doing is giving out, that actually there's nothing left to give. And that's why who is influencing us is so important. We need to align ourselves first and foremost with God, because our influence should come from him. But also our influence needs to come from those people around us that are going to help us to continue to walk in the right way, to love and to be nurtured, to actually know what it is to be a good Christian, somebody who lives it more than just Sunday morning. And then by that, we're able to then pour that out and to actually be that in other people's lives as well. So I think especially when we're looking at our own children and our own families, we need to be aware of the things that we say and the language that we use around those people. So sometimes it's good to just catch your breath and just before you reply to actually think about what you're saying. It is given to us by God an authority over our children, and he will judge us on how we respond with our children. That isn't to say that our children are always going to listen to everything we say and that they aren't going to make their own decisions, because we're doing that with God, aren't we? God will tell us things sometimes, and sometimes we listen, and sometimes we've got a half ear on it, and sometimes we don't even want to know. And our children are going to be the same. So what our children decide to do is our children's decision. All God requires of us is that our influence is good, and that actually we give them the opportunity to know a different way of doing things, and really to just share love and to be family and to be warming to those people.
Okay, so to wrap up, the people that influence us, the ones that feed us, the ones that input into our lives, the ones that influence our thinking, our actions. We have to steward those, and we have to wisely seek those people to give us good, godly input. That good, godly input then just then flows out of us as influence to other people. God has called us to bring his kingdom to this world, to be salt and light in this world. And so what flows out of us is what flows into us. And I just want to finish with a scripture which I think kind of really really gives us focus as to what it is that we should be looking for and soaking up and being a sponge for in our lives. So John 15, verse 14, it says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." So why are we wise with our friends? Why are we wise with that input into our lives? Because we want God's best for us. Because we want everything that Jesus has shown us of the Father to flow through us. Jesus is the ultimate source of life. He's the ultimate source of the what we have to give to other people. So I want to encourage everyone this morning to think about the influences into your life and your influence out into the world. Don't shut yourself off into a little bubble, but allow good, godly kingdom input into your life so that you can bring that into the dark places. Know the Father's business so that you can bring the Father's business with you when you go into those dark places. Be the influence, be the light, be the salt. And allow his purpose to work through in that. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for you to you this morning, Lord, that, Lord, you work out your purposes and your kingdom using the hands and the feet, Lord Jesus, that you've given us. Lord Jesus, when you want to reach into a dark place, Lord Jesus, you fill someone with your spirit and your kingdom and you send them there. Lord Jesus, when you want to transform a life, Lord Jesus, you fill someone with your spirit and your kingdom and you send them to speak into that life. Lord Jesus, you have called us to work in your family business. Lord Jesus, we are not merely receivers of blessing, but Lord Jesus, we are conduits and we are wells of blessing too. Give us, Lord, transform our thinking, Lord Jesus, from merely receiving to being an overflow of your goodness. Lord Jesus, over the coming days, inspire us and just bring to mind, Lord Jesus, those people, Lord, that we need to seek out, Lord, to bring into our circle of influence, Lord Jesus, to bring into those five, maybe, Lord. Lord, that can give good input into our lives, that can fill some of those gaps we've got, Lord. Bring to mind those people. And Lord Jesus, help us to lead wisely in the people that we have responsibility and authority over. Help us to lead wisely and influence wisely, Lord Jesus, with our words, with our actions, and Lord Jesus, with with our choices, Lord. Lord, we just thank and praise you this morning, and we just trust, Lord, for you to work out this transformation in our lives. In your mighty name, amen.
Just one last thing, and I'm just going right back to the beginning of the teaching when we said about the five people that we kind of wrote down on our list or thought in our head about. Just because they are the people that you spend the most time with doesn't mean they have to be the most influential. Okay, you can choose, but you need to be wise to it. So it doesn't mean you need to sort of go out and start actually spending more time with one, you know, some people than your work friends. If you work full time, that's going to be quite a lot on your other friends to expect them to have that much input into your life and that much time. It's just not possible, is it? But it's about their influencing you and watching what they're saying to you, what you're taking on board, and that you're not repeating the language that they use if it's not uplifting, and that you're not getting dragged into things like gossip in the workplace and things like that. You just need to be wise to it. But if you do feel that there are some gaps, then look for those people and do spend more time with them. But don't try and look to get the balance, because otherwise you're going to be very busy and you're not going to have time for anything. But yeah, so just a bit of wisdom.
Right, good news, everyone. We seem to have mislaid all the children. So mums and dads, you got the day off. Yeah, it means we get some biscuits today. Has anyone got any questions about this morning's teaching? Or anything that sort of...
You just go over the whole thing.
Settle in. Okay, so the original, the idea is that, and if you do a brief Google search, you'll see lots of Pinterest memes or, you know, Facebook memes with this on it, but you are the